Okay, we pick up with Oslam Adalad, the major, major concept. Omar HaSeichel. The Seichel tells the Neshama as follows. The Seichel is interested, as we spoke about already, in Oslam and in explaining. Now that we recognize that there's value to imperfection in Olam Hazeh, there's value to an imperfect world, there's value in our being created imperfect, and by creating us and the universe Olam Hazeh, with imperfections, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enables us, gives us the space and the opportunity to create our perfection. And Oslamed, Seichel said, now that we understand the concept of Kisar, now we're going to begin to wade in to try and to understand, well, what are we supposed to do? That's a nice idea in principle. Now, in practice, how are we supposed to go about that? What does it mean to practically be Mashlim Chesronos? And to think about what we should be doing, and so that's going to require understanding. That's going to require, number one, an appreciation of the fact that whatever Shleimus we can ultimately create in Olam Hazeh for Olam Haba, well, as much shleimus as we're going to create, it's always going to be, we're going to have the maximum we could enjoy is getting a partial understanding, a partial apprehension, a partial connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, we're finite, but even a partial connection, as much as we can do, which is the most that we're capable of doing as mortals, that is unimaginably amazing. That was the Oslam base. And now we pick up with Oslam Adal. Amar Seichel, Atoke Shenashiv Eli Beinu Kol Sidrei Ma'asav Yisbarach. If we begin to look at the array of what Ribbono Shel Olam has done, Kol HaMa'aseh HaGadol She'asah Mineisim Adam Alei Eretz. Going back to when Kadosh Baruch Hu first put humans on this world, in addition to what actually has happened, to look at the predictions for the future that Kadosh Baruch Hu transmitted to us through the Holy Nevi'im, he named Hashem Yisbarach lanu mikol zeh biur gamor hu otzem yichudo Yisbarach. Studying history and studying the future, you see the intensity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness. What does that mean? The Tiri. He says, look here. Kol sha'ar ma'ila shleimuso ha'bilti balas tachlis eina mizbar metzleinu kol. The other aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perfection, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unbounded perfection, that's beyond our ken, beyond our comprehension. Ein ba'anu koch la'asigo sam. Derech mashal, for instance. Yadana shuhu chacham. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wise. Of lo hisagnu sof chachmasov. We can't appreciate the extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom. Yadana shuhu yodeya. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on in the world. Lo hisagnu yidiyasa. We can't appreciate the full extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yidiyah. Here he's just tipping his hat. It's not his main point. So, towards a solution of the paradox of Bechira and Yediya. How could it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us free will, yet he also knows what's going to happen? Right? So he's not getting involved, he's just tipping his hat. Lo yisag, we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yodea. We can't appreciate the extent, the depth to which Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yodea. We're finite mortals. Okay, Dam Ruzal. And that's why Chazal say, I tell you, it's a tikkun ezor. Antu chakim v'lo b'chachma yidia. Antu meivin v'lo b'vina yidia. We know that you're a chacham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that you're a maven, but we can't appreciate the depth, the degree of that chachma b'vina. Chayvan she'inanu yichol nasig ha'malo sa'ila. And since we can't appreciate the fullness, the degree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ma'ilos, nimshach lanu mizeh yisra chakir b'ham. That's why there are limits to how much we're allowed to dig into them, explore them. To explore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos has a limit. Ki HaKol Chayavu Tzibizeh Ne'emar, Gemara Chagiga says, B'mumafil Nelcha Al Tidrosh, B'mumachuz Melcha Tarchor. Some things are beyond us, and then you have to realize that you're not supposed to inquire. V'chein Amru, in Ras Libcha Shuv L'Makom. Apparently, the Sefer Yetzira has a similar idea. That what? That there is a limit on our inquiry. And he's about to talk about the one exception to that. But just to appreciate what he just said, that in general, there are limits into how much we're going to inquire and explore, investigate Kadosh Baruch Hu's milas. So that goes back to what Ramchal laid out, the one introduction at the very beginning. Remember, the sechas at the very beginning, and you want to engage in inquiry, you just have to realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and we're finite, as Yeshayahu said, it's a world of difference. So we'll be able to understand things about Kadosh Baruch Hu in general contours, but we don't expect it to understand it in full detail. And that makes sense to us. That's logical. As I said the other time, Derech Mashal, like flatland. Kadosh Baruch Hu is multi-dimensional. It's Derech Mashal. Kadosh Baruch Hu is so many more dimensions than we are, infinitely so. So it makes sense. We're able to understand it in broad terms, but not in detail. I don't know if I mentioned this mashal when we started Das Tunos. Think about a soda can. Soda can. We take soda cans for granted. We know exactly what shape they are, because they're three-dimensional and so are we. But imagine that there's an English-British novel from the end of the 19th century, beginning the 20th century, called Flatland, that plays out the following idea much more dramatically, written by Edward Abbott, who was a headmaster of a British school. So I think worthwhile reading on many levels. But just to take one snippet of the ideas of Flatland. Imagine a soda can. So we're three-dimensional beings, and we live in a three-dimensional world, and soda can's three-dimensional, so we know what a soda can is. But imagine you're a two-dimensional being. You try to understand a soda can. That sounds sort of abstract, so let's make this practical. Take a soda can. You know how you project a three-dimensional soda can into two dimensions? It's very simple. You cast a shadow. Right? You have a dark room and you have a light over here, a wall on the other side, you put something in between, so the item will cast a shadow against the wall, and that's essentially a two-dimensional projection of the three-dimensional can. Now, think about the following. What shadow does a soda can make? Right? The light's on my left, the wall's on my right, I'm holding the soda can in between. What shape do you see on the right? Well, a cylinder is a three-dimensional object. What shape do I see in the two-dimensional shape? So I might see a rectangle. Right? If I hold the soda can upright, the light's on the side, so it's a rectangle. Right? I was thinking, if I look at a soda can from the side, I see a rectangle. Right? We automatically understand that it's three-dimensional, but when you see the shadow, you really see that's the shape. But it's not always three-dimensional. It's not always a rectangle. Imagine if I turn the can on its side. Right? And the bottom of the can, or the top of the can, is facing the light. And the other end is facing the wall. Then what do you see? You see a circle, right? If you hold it some awkward angle sideways, you'll get some sort of funny side. It's some other shape. The question is, what shape is a soda can? Is a soda can round or rectangular? Or diamond-shaped? Which one is it? A stira? What's the answer? Right, the answer tends to look at it, because the answer is, it's neither merely a circle nor is it a rectangle, because circles and rectangles are two dimensions. A soda can is three-dimensional. So whenever I'm projecting a soda can onto a wall, whenever I'm making a shadow, by definition, I'm never going to capture the fullness of the soda can, because I'm trying to reduce something three-dimensional to two-dimensional. So of course it's only going to capture one aspect. I look at the soda can like this, and it looks like a rectangle. Look like this, it looks like a circle. Which one is it? Well, it's not either one, but it's both plus. It's a three-dimensional reality. So it's much more than a circle. It has circular aspects to it, and it has rectangular aspects to it, but it would be insulting to the soda can to reduce it to a circle or rectangle. Now, a soda can is not that important, but as a mashal, it's incredibly important, because that's what I meant before. This is the whole notion of dimensionality is itself a mashal. We're talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu, but derech mashal, they're trying to we live in a three-dimensional world. So compared to two dimensions, that's a lot. But compared to more than two, That's not much at all. So we live in, we're finite creatures in a finite three-dimensional universe. We're trying to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means that we're seeing certain, so to speak, projections, shadows of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, projections of the higher dimensional reality, the infinite dimensional reality, so to speak, into our three-dimensional finite universe. So of course, whenever we understand that if you're a two-dimensional creature living in a two-dimensional wall and you come across the token, you see it's circular. So if you're wise enough to understand that there are more than two dimensions, now you say there's something circular about the can. I can't fully wrap my head around it. There's something rectangular about it. So I'll know it's complex and it's rich and somehow it's more than I can understand because I'm only two dimensions. So we say we're three-dimensional, we're finite. Kadosh Baruch Hu is beyond that. So we can get certain aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we get certain impressions, but we understand that we're not going to get the full picture because, again, it's like a ke'ilu, like a shadow into this universe, like a projection into three dimensions of a much richer, infinite reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he says. So if you understand that, so then it makes a lot of sense that we can understand certain things in broad strokes about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at the same time, to try to, you know, nail it down in detailed terms is, at the very very least, silly and futile. There's no way you're going to do that. And the worst, making yourself into trouble, because you're asking questions that are by definition unanswerable. So that's what the Gemara says. That's not a good idea. You inquire in broad terms, but you're not going to try to define in great detail what's the details of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma and his Bina. That's silly. I should be wise enough to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Chacham, and that there's no way that it's inconceivable for me to, I don't have the terminology or the dimensionality to be able to define HaKadosh Baruch, to wrap my arms around the fullness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what he says. That's Mufa Mukhal to Josh, Mukhus Mukhal Tachkar. I'm sorry?
The shapes of the soda can, what are those?
Right, so what are the shapes of the soda can? What's the nimshal of the shapes?
The way he projects.
Right. So we see that Kadosh Baruch Hu acts with wisdom. We see that Kadosh Baruch Hu acts with forethought. We see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is just. So for instance, we see that Kadosh, let's give an example he didn't give. We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is just. Sometimes we can see it. Often we can't. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us in the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, B'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'shiras HaZinu, Atzur Tamim Palo Ki Chal Drachav Mishpat, Kelim Anav Ein Adel, Tadik V'Yashar. Kadosh Baruch Hu is just. And sometimes we can look back and we're able to recognize that. But even we're able to recognize that, the Rambam points out in, I think it's the beginning of Parag Vav V'Lichos Tshuva, we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu has moral standards for us, mitzvahs, averus, their expectations, how we will and won't behave, and we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu communicated those expectations to us, and we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu, there are consequences. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is not just, you know, suggestions, those are expectations, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's schar v'yonesh, a person does the right thing, the wrong thing, and then there's tshuva, sort of things we know. and we have some understanding that there is, you know, there's a scale. Some averus are greater averus, lesser averus, and that there could be factors in any given situation that may militate for us to get more onesh b'day shamayim, or perhaps mitigated, there'll be less onesh b'day shamayim because of particular circumstances and factors and so on and so forth. Okay, and we understand sort of in broad terms that Kadosh Baruch Hu has a dazzlingly wide array, a panoply of different ways that he might deliver an onus to a person. El mazen, el hava, and the Gemara blue line of some papas. Haber shluchu makam. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us, for whatever reason, because of onus or for whatever other reason, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to suffer. It could be at the hands of the Roman executioner, or it could be at the hands of 1,001 natural forces that Kadosh Baruch Hu might harness. So we know Kadosh Baruch Hu look at this tremendous broad panoply of different ways to deliver schar and to deliver onesh. And we understand that there's a sense of scale and magnitude, like it fits more schar, more onesh for particular averus and mitzvahs. But the Rambam says, we don't expect to be able to sketch that out in detail, to actually know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's algorithm for when does he give which type of onesh. It's self-evident, if you think about it, that that's going to be beyond our ken. So I think that's an example of, we know a lot of basics, we sort of have a sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, more than we can begin to, more than we see. Sometimes we see it, and sometimes we don't see it in the moment. And we have some sense of sort of the structure and the different magnitudes, but we don't know all the details of a calculus. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a cheshbon. Rama writes that in the context of suspension of Bechira, which he understands that once in a while in Tanakh, and Paro and some others suffer from a suspension of Bechira Chavsha. So Rama says that itself was an onesh. Paro didn't listen, five times. Finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, part of the punishment is now you can't do tshuva. That itself was a punishment for the first five times. Rambam says we're not able to figure out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision making heuristic is for when does he give which onesh. We know that it's appropriate. We know that it's chav yonesh. We know it's always appropriate to the chet and to the particular the 1,001 factors that go in, the circumstances go into my particular chet or my particular mitzvah. But more than that, we don't know. So I think that's sort of a shadow. There's certainly a lot to that shadow. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's just, we understand something about it, but there's so much more that we wouldn't expect to understand. Yes?
In Nimshal, for us, we're able to kind of understand the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but no way the actual soda can of HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Right. Correct.
But not even always fully the shadow.
You see a shadow. You see a projection of Rosh Hashanah into this world. Right? Sometimes we don't see it. So there are episodes in our lives, episodes in world history. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice at all. There could be episodes where we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness. Okay. So that's part of the limited nature of our own understanding. And our own position. Sometimes you don't see the circular aspect of the Soda can at all. Sometimes you just see a rectangle. Sometimes you don't see the rectangle, you just see a circle. Okay, that's the nature of projection of a higher dimensional item into lower dimensional space, whether it's the projection of a three-dimensional can into two-dimensional space, i.e. a flat surface, or is, so again, the Derech Mashal, an infinite dimensional divine reality into finite human reality. So by definition, there's a lot lost. You have a certain sense. You don't have all the details. So that's what he says. That's the beginning of that's the first paragraph of section Lamed Aleph. He says, we understand that all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the other miles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will get the basic outline, will get the broad strokes picture, sort of the impressionistic portrait, but we're not going to get it in exquisite detail. And he says, but there's an exception. That exception is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yichud, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness, and that we will admit, which is very fascinating, that there could be an exception. Could there be something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can fully, thoroughly apprehend? Ramchal says yes, it's Yichud Hashem, and that is something which we'll pick up with the Mitzvah next week.